Other roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel? Freeman.
Here.
Gay. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton. Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne, Throne,
here.
Vronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dan.
Excused.
Zwanitzer Dan, excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Today we have again with us Pastor Robert Schmidt representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church. If you'd stand for our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great state. We ask that you be with us as we, this house, in this place, and at this time, decide what is best for this state. Be with them and strengthen them in their decisions. And as your creation moves forward to walk and to work and to do your work, we ask safety upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the great Creator, amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are at that order of business. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 18, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And just a few announcements this morning. Remember to go get your pictures taken. Apparently there are 38 people, including myself, that need to get their picture taken today. So let's get that done. Yes, today. And then I'm supposed to let you know that Kay Warnock from National Conference of State Legislatures is in the House lobby throughout the morning to visit with any members about any NCSL services. And I'd like you to welcome the doctor of the day, Dr. Joseph McGinley from Casper, and the nurse of the day, Toma Nesbitt from Cheyenne.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to take a minute to introduce the mayor of the big town of Edgerton, Wyoming, Buck King.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
You know, brothers and sisters of 61st, when you start out with 500,000 people, every one counts as we're growing this huge megalopolis that is Wyoming. And it is my great pleasure to introduce someone who's moving here from Washington, D.C., right here to the big city in Cheyenne. That's my Aunt Sue Akey up here in this gallery up here. Hi, Sue.
Chairman Berger.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
It's with my honor that I'd like to introduce one of the bigger towns in Dayton, in Wyoming, Dayton, Wyoming folks. As you can all imagine, we're getting ready for all of our local folks, cities, towns, and counties. But I have with us today on my left Denise Wagner, Bob Alley, Norm Anderson, Vicki Cotton, Bob Wood, and Kathy Alley. Please stand and welcome to Cheyenne.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce you to some councilmen and our town administrator from Lovell. And I got to tell you, one of these councilmen lobbies me incessantly. He's my brother, Councilman Brian Dixon. Councilman Bruce Wolsey and our city administrator, Scott Campbell.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
All of my fellow members of the 61st, I'd like to introduce you to friends of mine, administrators from the school district in Campbell County, Alex Ayers and Don Dealey.
Representative Peasley.
Mr. Speaker, it's seldom I get to introduce anybody, and
please proceed.
Thank goodness they're not down here that often. But on behalf of Representative Kennedy and I would like to welcome the Wild Bunch, or also known as the City Council, from the town of, I can't say the town, right, Representative Teeter, but it's the one between Glen Rock and Glendale. Okay, from the city of Douglas, the Jackalope City, right there. Thank you.
Representative Freeman, and you can say the name of the town for purposes of privilege of the floor. That is appropriate.
Mr. Speaker, it's a privilege of mine to introduce a fellow soccer player, Pete Ranjord, who's in the South Gallery, also a chief financial officer of our school district.
Okay, we are at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill 149, introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to marriage, marriage definition.
House Bill 149 is referred to committee number one, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 150.
House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations, civil unions.
House Bill 150 is referred to committee number one, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 167.
House Bill 167, introduced by Representative Korberg.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses, Castle Doctrine modifications.
House Bill 167 is referred to committee number one, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to conservation easements.
House Bill 170 is referred to committee number one, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution number four.
House Joint Resolution number four being introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to propose an amendment to the United States Constitution repealing the 17th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
House Joint Resolution number four is referred to committee number one, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53.
House Bill 53, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to lotteries, Wyoming Lottery for Education.
House Bill 53 is referred to committee number three, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169.
House Bill 169, introduced by Representative Greer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue, sales tax on food, local option.
House Bill 169 is referred to committee number three, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 166.
House Bill 166, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school districts, teacher evaluations.
House Bill 166 is referred to committee number four, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 168.
House Bill 168, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school district organization.
House Bill 168 is referred to committee number four, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 171.
House Bill 171, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public lands, corner crossings at intersecting public and private lands.
House Bill 171 is referred to committee number five, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 162.
House Bill 162, introduced by Representative Burkhart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Office of Occupational Health and Safety.
House Bill 162 is referred to committee number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 172.
House Bill 172, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government, Department of Health, Fiscal Oversight.
House Bill 172 is referred to committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. And the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 20.
House Bill 20, introduced by the Select Developmental Intellectual Programs, Labor and Health, an act relating to Medicaid reimbursement of services.
House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21.
House Bill 21, introduced by Representative Barbuto, an act relating to crimes and offenses, battery against a family member.
House Bill 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to teacher merit pay.
And we have an amendment on House Bill 72. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 72. Ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, you have the amendment in your tray. Basically, the big change here is what I alluded to yesterday, is that we make policy. And I think that's important that we continue to make policy and we don't delegate that to the executive branch. And the bill, as it was written, was about the state superintendent and getting her folks together and coming up with a policy. I think that's fundamentally flawed. I think our collective 90 of us together will do the right thing. So this amendment simply changes the makeup of the committee. In the paragraph B, if you look on page one of the amendment, I think this color's pink, isn't it? Okay. I've been told I'm colorblind. So on the pink copy there, if you go down to line 24, paragraph B, and you can see that the committee shall consist of two senators appointed by the president, two representatives appointed by the speaker, so four legislators, one member of a school board, one school administrator, and one teacher, three members from the public. It's really important. I've served on a lot of these boards over the years. It's important to have that legislative vote, I think, in a 4-3 or a 5-4, whatever it might be. I think that's really important. Because in the end, we're accountable to the voters, the folks who sent us here. And so I think there's some amendments. You know, if this is successful, we can, if you want to expand that to include parents and those kind of things, or designate that it should be the chairman of education on it, that's fine. But I think the key issue here is about we are the policymaking body. The folks downstairs and down at the Hathaway building implement our policy. So with that, I'd stand for any questions, ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first time I knew anything about this amendment was 13 minutes after 10. And I think I understand it now that it's been explained a little bit. I guess my concern with it is that you know, something as different and unique as merit pay has got to have more than just an average amount of input in some kind of a task force like this. If it's going to be acceptable, if it's going to be welcomed, if it's going to be anticipated with enthusiasm by the school systems themselves. You know, as far as having a majority on the committee being made up of legislators, if it came to the point where we had a 4-3 vote on this committee and it was the four legislators that voted yes on it and the three non-legislators voted no, I don't think it'd be very wise of us to proceed with a merit pay plan that had that type of distribution of support. I guess, I purposely looked at it to kind of put some legislative influence in there so they had the overall drift to what the legislature is looking for at the forefront, but I wanted them to have the perception in their own mind that they had played a part in this. And an important part, not just a token part of a guaranteed minority that could be voted down on critical components of it. You know, I realize it's got to be, you know, the legislature is responsible and it's ultimately a legislative decision. And, of course, when it comes back in the next session, the legislature will have to act on it. It isn't going to be that it's gone from this day forward. We'll still be able to put the legislative stamp on it a year from now. So, you know, do what you want on it. You know, I'm just kind of looking at it from my standpoint as far as where's the which version is going to generate the biggest chance of success for that kind of important legislation. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't processed exactly where I stand on the amendment, but I do want one clarification on the amendment that I'm hoping that the good state championship football coach can answer for us. And that is the section that mentions that the non-legislative members shall be appointed by the governor. I would like, I guess the reasoning is why we want the governor to appoint those and not the state superintendent of public instruction, since that's an elected position that's elected by the people to be in charge of the Department of Education.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in strong support of this amendment, and actually in support of the last speaker, too. I thought that was a good point about the superintendent maybe appointing rather than the governor. But as to the actual amendment, I just wanted to speak on a little bit of experience I've had. I've chaired a few different task force, select committees, those types of things. One in particular comes to mind. I was co-chairing the drug court steering committee, I guess we called it. And how we configured it, we had a bunch of executive members. It was department heads, I think Department of Health, Department of Corrections, Department of Family Services. I think the Attorney General was on the task force. And then we had legislators, and then we actually had members of the judiciary. And what kept happening was the judiciary and the legislative branch agreed. The executive branch always voted as a block. Once one department head wanted to do it one way, they all voted the same, everybody. And how we had configured it, the executive branch had way more members. They actually could outvote both the judiciary and the legislature together. So the recommendations that came out of that were not the recommendations of the legislators that sat on the committee. So you had a very strange report that came out that was essentially what the executive branch wanted to do. The legislative and judiciary branch did not want to go that way. What ends up happening was the bill came from legislators, so we did a different type of bill. So it was almost this useless report that came out of it because it was so strongly controlled by the executive branch because of the numbers we had put on there. The other important part is to make sure that a legislative member is the chair of the committee. And we've seen this with other task force where we've sat on committees, but it's chaired by an executive branch member who can clearly run the show. And the reason for that is you got to have legislative buy-in. You can have a great task force. You can have a great steering committee, and they come up with a great product. But if you don't have buy-in from the legislators who are the policymakers, there's no bill that's going to come out of that. They're going to have a great report. It's going to sit on somebody's, you know, bookshelf and look pretty. But you got to have buy-in from the legislators. And the way to have buy-in is to make sure that the legislators have more members and that the legislators, one of those legislators, are either co-chair or chair. And that's how you get a successful product out of one of these committees.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to say that as we've continued this conversation, I think this does take us in the right direction. The concern that I have is that we're going to be creating a select committee on school accountability with one of the accountability bills that we're creating that's probably going to meet on a monthly basis, and it would make good sense for that select committee to actually deal with the merit pay issue instead of creating another select committee. So it might be something that I will work on in third reading, but this does take us in the right direction. I do think the state superintendent needs to be in the loop, and I wouldn't have any heartburn about having that person appoint the extra people that are going to serve on this task force. But I'll bring a third reading amendment that will actually allow the Select Committee on Accountability deal with the issue of merit pay, and I think that'll be, for me, the best way to do it. Instead of creating another Select Committee, we're getting buried alive with Select Committees, and those of us that have to serve on all these Select Committees, it takes an enormous amount of time. So if we could kind of combine the workload with something that makes sense, that's what I'll attempt to do on third reading.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate all the great debate. I think, I just bring this as experience. I think you can make it better on third reading if you want to change things or add. I think the good chairman of education is right on. I think eventually as these things go through the legislature, they're going to be all rolled into this committee. We got a lot of issues. and we want to kind of bring it all together. But the fundamental issue here is we are the policymakers. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of emails from educators in the state and school board folks. So to say that to infer that we wouldn't have their input by not having every one of those folks on this committee, I think is, you know, we're getting a lot of input. And as far as the governor, a good question by the Natrona rep was, you know, that's generally how we have the governor appoints these folks. You know, if you want to have the state superintendent, I don't have any heartburn on that at all, but I think the governor has a pretty independent view of those things and has a pretty wide circle of folks. So I guess that's it, and do what you wish. I think if you have ideas to make it better on third reading, so be it. That's the process. So I'd encourage your aye vote on second reading amendment number one. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 72 has passed. House Bill 72 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Croker, an act relating to compulsory school attendance.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 100.
House Bill 100, introduced by Representative Shepherdson, an act relating to game and fish land acquisition.
House Bill 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 18.
House Bill 18, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the quarantine of animals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 18, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepherdson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 18, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 18 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to collection agencies, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move First Amendment reading to House Bill 108 and would ask for your favorable consideration. As you remember, a couple of days ago, we had a great discussion, and I appreciate all the input from all members of the House. We talked about collection agencies, and we talked about resident managers, and we talked about the department. And as I promised several members here of the body that I would bring back amendment, as you can see, it's a six-page amendment. It's that pretty yellow one. Do not let the size of that amendment scare you. There's basically three things it does, and I'll just go through those, and then I'll run through the amendment real quick. Basically, it's going to delete the commissioner and put it over back to the collection agency board. The resident manager portion of that is still out of the bill, and it will increase it to a five-member board, and it also it'll let the board keep the $832,000 that we talked about. So it should only take me about a minute to run through the actual amendment, but I would like to do that. On the first page of your amendment, about down at the middle, below where it says duties, this is where it'll let you have five-member board. On the top of the second page, and this is where I want to clarify, when you see the word partners and managers in there, it will allow for a resident manager to be part of the collection board, but only for 5 years, because that's how the statute reads now. So it doesn't put the resident managers back in, but it would allow them to be one of the board members. The other thing that this amendment put in towards the bottom of the second page is it will allow the board to go outside if they're lacking any expertise whatsoever and to hire any consultants or excess help as they may desire. As you go to page 3, it's basically just changing commissioners back to the board. As you go into page 4, it's predominantly that. Same thing with page 5. And page 6 is a repeat of the ones before. And then on page 7, we have that the board will not transfer its duties and obligations over to the department and that they will be able to manage themselves. I'd like to remind you again is that the state agency board would like to maintain the fact that they can be self-regulated. And with that, I will stand for questions.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, I think that it gives me heartburn. This bill has given me heartburn from the first time that we heard it in minerals years ago. And again, I believe that there are other more pressing things. I think that the $800,000 is evidence that there has been some mismanagement by the board. Why can't they regulate their own, particularly if they have that kind of a bank role? There needs to be a new board, but I don't believe that it needs to be transferred over to the Department of Banking. I think that they need a functional board. I think that they need to regulate their own, and I think that they have the resources to do that. On and in favor of the amendment.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I think the prior speaker really identified why this is a bad idea. She noted that, you know, these excess funds show that there's likely been mismanagement by the board over time, and yet here we have an amendment that will invest the board with even more authority, even more power, and that doesn't seem to me to be the solution to the problem. What you will see if this amendment passes is a rush by collection agency, those involved in collection agencies across the state to be a part of this board. And you can imagine why. If I was able to be on a board where I had the opportunity to look at all the books of my competitors, all their receipts, all their expenditures, how much they're charging, what they're taking out, that would be an opportunity that I would be excited to jump on. And I would expect you would see that if this amendment passed. Because what you do is you take out the independence that is such an integral part of this bill, the independence of making sure that money taken in that's reported as taken in is actually taken in, and that all the money that collection agencies should be paying out is actually paid out. And you eliminate the independence of that's included in the bill to accomplish that. The other thing this amendment essentially guarantees is that the savings, the efficiencies, the decreases in appropriations that we talked about throughout the earlier discussions of this bill will go away. Instead, as we said, there's a lot more that has to be done under this bill with collection agencies. And so you have a board, whether you have a 5-member citizen board or a 3-member citizen board, and they're currently meeting once a month. That can't continue under this version, under the amended version of the bill. There's been the suggestion that they can hire outside consultants to do their work for them. So you can quickly see an expanding outside bureaucracy growing to come in and do the duties laid out in the bill. Whereas if you reject the amendment, leave the bill as written, you plug it into an existing infrastructure, a structure that's designed to do the exact things that the bill lays out, and you end up saving the state money. So if you want to ensure inefficiencies, if you want to ensure operations on inside information, if you want to ensure the increased expenditure of funds, do vote for the third reading amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I stand in opposition of the amendment. This industry already has had the opportunity to regulate itself. That's what has necessitated this legislation, or this proposed legislation. And adding 2 more members to the board isn't going to change that. The comments regarding the banking commissioner and that infrastructure, which is already in place, taking this over and regulating this is really an efficient use. And I just have to have you think about the fact we wouldn't be here today if this industry had already self-regulated appropriately.
Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To kind of, gently push back on the representative from District 56, if there are all these people that are going to be rushing to be on the board to do this, where have they been the last 20 years? In 20 years, we have had 6 people serve on this 3-person board, the same 6 people. One woman who just got off the board before the new person who is the one who keeps sending you a lot of emails and is very active on this board, she's been off and on this board for 40 years. I mean, she's basically created an empire of these entities around the state that she controls, and now I think mostly have been inherited by her son, who represents a lot. Some of you got a handout on your desk from the representative from District 9. The former board member's name is crossed out, but I guess I don't believe there's going to be a rush to be serving on this board. Most people don't want the responsibility of having to be in the position to oversee their competitors. And the person who is this appointed position on the board now takes this very seriously and has been very responsible and has worked with all these collection agencies, the ones you see on this list, to try to save this board. And so I do support the amendment. I will agree, like everybody else, this board is kind of broken, but the more and more I read and listen to and talk to people, it's because we have a stale board, and we've had a stale board for 20 years. And if we get some new people on it and give them some power, give them the same power they've had, just have them use the power that they have instead of come to meetings when they come to meetings and get paid and take away any teeth or regulation they have. The current bill just says they can come show up to meetings, get paid for it, and have no responsibilities. So this amendment makes the bill better. I think the committee probably needs to go back and look at this whole agency again next year for the 3rd year in a row because we haven't got it figured out yet. But for the time being, please support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Laux.
Well, thank you. I was troubled with this bill yesterday, and basically I don't understand it or why it's necessary. And so last night I made a few calls to 2 people that are on this list. It says support sheet that was handed to us this morning. People that I've known for many, many years, and they've been in the industry for many years. And the question I asked the bringer of the amendment is why was this, the resident manager taken out? And basically what I've heard from the 2 people I talked to is that, no, it wasn't necessary to put it underneath the banking industry. And they would support, I was ready to kill the bill, and then we see this amendment come forth. So I would like that question answered concerning the resident manager, why that was removed. And one of the two people I talked to said that they would be fine either way with that. The other one said it ought to be just left the way it is. So I'm just seeking information. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and against the proposed amendment number one, a considerable amount of time was put into this to assure that the citizens of Wyoming were getting treated fairly when they were dealing with collection agencies. And part of that process is to use reviews that can be done by an agency that does it for banking, does it for the mortgage industry, and just add this on to their responsibilities so that when people are in that environment, they know that there is somebody looking after due process and their best interest. This has been heard over and over. There are people that object to it for their own personal reasons or various reasons, but this is a good bill. I'd urge your support of the bill and defeat of the amendment number one.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this amendment is needed to really address the concerns that many of us have heard about the committee bill, and is probably necessary to make the bill work. We don't need to shift the regulation. Maybe there is a problem with the current setup, but the answer is not to wholesale move it to another commission, another division that does not, in my view, really directly fit. It may not be great government now, but it might be worse government under the bill without the amendment, so I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, prior to the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, I do appreciate the discussion. I would like to address the comment made by the fine representative from District 59 regarding resident managers. I believe that was kind of a subset to this bill, and we had that great discussion here on the body on Monday. And I think it was the will of the body of the people here to eliminate the resident managers. And so that would be my explanation there. My personal thoughts on that one way or the other, I'm not sure that would matter. But what I would like to take you back to on the original amendment that we're bringing to you is I want to let you know that the collection agencies back in the beginning created this board, and they created this board to regulate themselves. And the board worked fine until maybe the last, 10 years or whatever. And at that time, as I mentioned the other day, it became stagnant. So once again, this is a bill about being able to self-regulate yourself. There were some comments on Monday about if there was any other collection agencies in the state that was behind this. We took the effort to contact those. As you may know, there's 28 collection agencies in the state of Wyoming. A majority of those said yes, they are in favor of this amendment. And the majority of them also said that if this amendment did not pass, they are not in favor of the bill. They want to be self-regulated. This industry stands humbly before you. They are right there in front of the department. If they get gobbled up by this department, they will not come back. And then the question goes to what other boards will we be looking at next? We have created a 5-member board. I believe some of the problems for having such a surplus in their fund has come from the fact that there was fear of auditing their neighbors and doing that. So now with a 5-member board, you can surely find 3. And if it's a really bad instance, then you can go to outside help and they will come in and do that. Members of the body, I strongly encourage you to vote yes on this amendment. And if this amendment does pass, please do vote yes on the bill. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 108. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 108 has failed. We have...
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Point of order.
There are only 59 members present.
Oh, I apologize for that. So we're good there. So we have them rise up. So I'm going to correct myself there. Thank you for that point of order. And so the third reading amendment number one to House Bill 108 has been adopted. And we have a second amendment to House Bill 108 as well. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number two and ask the body for its favorable consideration. This is really a technical correction to create possible confusion under the current language of the bill. If you see there on page 5, it includes within the definition of debt collection, taking an assignment or purchasing debts in default for collection purposes. And the concern was that just taking those assignments or just purchasing those debts may bring people within this licensing regime. This amendment just clarifies that and says, no, that you have to do that and then take an affirmative act to actually collect the debts for it to be collection and for you to fall within the requirements of the licensing provisions. Not take any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Question having been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number two to House Bill 108, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number three to House Bill 108. Representative Throne.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker. At this point, I'd like to withdraw third reading amendment number three.
Hearing no objection, third reading amendment number three to House Bill 108 has been withdrawn. House Bill 108 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel. Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Excused. Greer.
No.
Green. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton. Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Peasley, no to aye. Throne, aye to no. Miller, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 ayes, 24 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 108, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 108 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davidson.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce Kimmer's administrator. And someone's up there with him, but I can't see who. But I'd like to introduce them from Kimmer and give them a big hearty welcome, please.
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'd like to just introduce you to the man who's been in education in Wyoming for 25 years in Sheridan County and now is the superintendent of Natrona County School District Number 1, Dr. Joel Dvorak, has joined us today. Welcome.
Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce somebody, I'm kind of direction challenged, so this way, who has been married to me for 37 years and is celebrating a birthday today, my husband, Nick.
We are at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 42, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, no, Throne, signed representing Brown, Chairman. House Bill 62. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 62, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Throne, no, Brechtel, Peasley, signed representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 22, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Botten, Kennedy, Peterson, Fronish, Zwanitzer, Dave, no, Bonner, McKim, Korberg. Signed, representing Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee, number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 33, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Korberg, Varanish, no, Blake, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed representing Korberg, Chairman.
We are at that order.
Mr. Speaker?
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would like to re-refer House Bill 22 to your committee, number two, Appropriations.
Been moved for House Bill 22 to be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Miller.
All righty, the Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Just so everyone hasn't forgotten how important this day is in history, I just want to remind everyone that the neon light was patented today. The Hundred Years' War ended. The Volkswagen Beetle came off the last Volkswagen Beetle came off the factory line in Germany. And our favorite item on your desk, the computer mouse, showed up on a certain fruit-type computer back in the early 1980s. But I think the most important event occurred in 1883. The first electric lighting system was turned on in Roselle, New Jersey. And it's kind of amazing. This was done with no government grants. This was done with no government permitting. It was done entirely with the American Free Enterprise System. So, with that, Chairman McComey. You're ready for the first bill. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 76, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to game and fish turkey pioneer licenses. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 76 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I will explain the Standing Committee Amendment and then turn the bill over to the good sponsor. Mr. Chairman, in committee on page 2, line 2, the committee decided that the turkey license was more fittingly put with the antelope and deer licenses, which is a $2 license, instead of the elk. And they made the motion to move after antelope, put wild turkey, or wild turkey, and strike on line 3, or wild turkey. And with that, I'd stand for any questions on the amendment, or call for the question.
Any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? If not, okay, you've heard the call for the question. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We pass the Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, I would love to turn the explanation of the bill over to its sponsor, a gentleman that resides in this wonderful place we call our capital. And thank you for the good little sermon at the beginning of your tenure.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really didn't know all of those things were had significance with today. And it's, I guess, a good significance we started off with the shot of wild turkey. So here we are. And the Pioneer Hunting and Fishing License is a program we've had for our elder hunters who like to get out there in the spring and hunt turkey and out in the fall, and still some of them are out there big game hunting. And I recall my last time I went hunting, it was my friend's grandpa that stayed in camp, and we've been out hiking mountains all day, and we come back to camp and there's a deer hanging in the tree. So the deer just happened to come through the camp, and he was pretty proud of that. Now most of them, as this statute's become a little ambiguous, they mostly are bird hunters and fishermen. And the turkey, well, I guess he was kind of lonely in that spot all by himself. He wanted to come down and play where the deer and antelope play. And there's about 60 or 70 hunters that have this license. And they just felt that since this was one of the main things that they were doing now as far as hunting and fishing, that it was appropriate that it be put down in this category with what is now the deer and the antelope, and I stand for questions.
Any questions on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want carefully to have you note on the title of the bill that my name is there as a sponsor. And as we have become a little more sensitive to ethics and ethical standards, I don't want anybody to make a challenge to this institution that there was somebody amongst you that sought favor of the licensure and the expense of a licensure for wild turkeys. I was born after January 1st, 1930, and I saw no need to search. I believe it's in the book.
Representative Esquivel, any further comment?
Mr. Chairman, I'll call for the question.
Okay, with no further comment, question being called, all those in favor of Representative McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 76 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. House Bill 76 has passed Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you please move House Bill 87 down on your list after House Bill 30?
Okay. House Bill 87 has been moved down the list underneath House Bill 30. So the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 110, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to civil actions regarding successor corporation asbestos-related liability. This bill is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 110 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. I would like to discuss with you and urge your support of Standing Committee number 1. It is just cleanup language that we did on page 1, line 3. After corporations, we added providing for applicability. Page 5, line 9, we deleted necessary word which. Line 5, or page 5, lines 10 and 11, we deleted entirely. And on page 5, line 12, delete by the transferor. Page 10, line 5, after the July 1, 2000 date, delete the balance of the line. Line 10, or page 10, lines 6 through 10, delete entirely. That better reflected the full intent of the bill, and I'd like to turn the management of the bill. First, I'd urge your vote in support of the amendment, the Standing Committee amendment, and stand for questions. If there are none, I'd call for the question. I'd like to turn the...
Okay, just a second. Any questions on the Standing Committee amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We're back on the bill. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to turn the management over to the bill to the good representative from Worland, Wyoming. This will be his first bill to manage on the floor, and welcome him to the introduction and the discussion of the bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 110, I'll give a brief overview, but I think it's first to note the short title. If this bill passes, it will be known as the Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability Fairness Act. And what this act relates to in an overview deals with successors in interest being a corporation that purchased an interest in another corporation or another business that had what I'm going to call latent liability with respect to asbestos. Latent liability is unknown liability, and liability that could not be discovered through reasonable due diligence. To look at this bill, you will see a significant date that when I review it, I will point out yet again. That significant date is January 1, 1972. That is a point in time, as in 1972, that OSHA issued rules and regulations regarding the hazardous occupational or the occupational hazards and the rules regarding asbestos. What this bill does is seeks to fairly, not completely, fairly limit the liability of corporations that had purchased other corporations with that latent liability prior to that date. I hope I don't bounce all over, but to talk on the issue of fairly, to look at that, when we see that the liability for these successor corporations, we are looking at the fairness being that they will have to pay still or assume the liability, even though they didn't know it existed, they will still have to assume the liability to the extent of the value of that corporation they bought prior to 1972, plus an add-on for, people have called it an inflator, an inflationary component, which is a New York prime plus one, plus, and I think this is significant, whatever insurance liability existed in that successor corporation. And I do have a very compelling example that I'll tell us as we go. To, it's a little bit more of an overview. This is good policy for the state of Wyoming. It protects Wyoming jobs. We do have a business, a factory in the state of Wyoming that this affects. It is, again, good policy that we help limit liability to those innocent, I want to say innocent, unsuspecting victims. And it's hard to see a corporation as a victim, but if there's no way their due diligence could help them, that is what we're looking at doing. I think while they're going on, I'll go through the bill, try to do it quickly. In looking at the bill, again, it is known as the Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability Fairness Act. Doesn't prohibit the liability, just the Fairness Act. The act defines several terms. I think the significant terms that we need to look at when understanding the bill is what is a transferor. And a transferor is that corporation, that business entity that was bought out or assumed by another. The successor is that corporation that bought the transferor. And then the mouthful of definition, there's no way else to say it, is successor asbestos-related liability. And what we are looking at is all that liability associated with asbestos that that transferor had and that was not any way to be known or that was not known prior to the 1972 date. I want to come in and look at the fact that the applicability of this statute does not prohibit workers' comp claims. It does not interfere with any of the National Labor Relations Acts, or more importantly, like in my district where there are several of these, collective bargaining agreements. And here is the key in my mind, which gets me comfortable with this legislation, proposed legislation. That is that successor cannot have, after the merger or consolidation prior to 1972, have continued with any asbestos-related activities. That is, they have to have clean hands with respect to asbestos liability. Again, I think I had touched on earlier that this does not bar asbestos litigation in the state of Wyoming. It'll limit the liability to those innocent corporations purchasing others, which helps our business environment. And additionally, if we have a citizen of this state that has an asbestos claim, he still or she can still bring that claim. It's just that those corporations protected by this act, if they can prove that they've already paid out in claims what they purchased that prior company for, all the insurance that went, that covered it, plus the inflator, that they can get out of that litigation. Fairness. I don't want to drag on because but I do need to point out the saga of one business within this state of Wyoming. It is a national corporation with a factory in this state, and in 1963, let me back up. This company I speak of simply started out selling cork bottle caps. No, and has never had any asbestos-related businesses, nor received a penny from any asbestos-related activities. In 1963, it purchased approximately a 70% interest in a Portuguese-owned company that had a cork, that was also a cork bottle cap company. That Portuguese company had a small sideline business of installing insulation And by 1963, that small sideline had wound down. By 1966, after acquiring all of the Portuguese company's interest in stock, and after even any inventory and all machinery associated with that small sideline insulation expense having been long gone, the U.S. corporation merged in, probably for accounting purposes, this cork bottle cap company into its cork bottle cap company. It paid $7 million for that company. We move forward to 1972. My math is awful. However many years that is forward, OSHA issues its regulations. That company, which has a factory in this state, has paid $650 million in asbestos-related liability claims. Had no way to know that this liability existed. No amount of due diligence could help this. That is why this is a Fairness Act. And that's why I would encourage everyone to vote in favor of it.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the bringer of the bill and the committee, just to make sure. My thinking that we will be dealing with and are dealing with some really important healthcare issues this session. And in my mind, when we talk about asbestos exposure, we're talking about the individuals who were working in those fields, working in those plants. The diseases that come from asbestos exposure, I think, are called something like asbestosis and mesothelioma. They're lung diseases. They take a long time before they manifest. And I'd like to make sure that individuals who have been exposed and wrongfully exposed have the ability to bring forth suits for their damages. We all know that the alternative is they will become kind of wards of the state in some way in terms of healthcare costs. And so I just like to understand about the fairness to the individuals, most likely workers, that were exposed to asbestos.
Representative Greer.
I can address that. In that too was a concern of mine when I first saw this bill. This does not prohibit those claims from being brought in any way, shape, or form. And there are still the corporations out there and a lot of bankruptcy trusts that have been set up with funds that are available to cure those people that have been injured. I want to make a point on this, and that is those corporations who made a profit from asbestos, and I can think of Johns Manville is a great example of that. A Fortune 500 company. I apologize. Please don't hit me. I'm pretty sure I can take the whip, but I'll respect the office. But Fortune 500 companies have done that. What they've had to do is file and go into bankruptcy to contain their litigation. And so some of these very large companies that really bear the brunt of this have already filed for bankruptcy. And they've put money into a trust out of the bankruptcy and limited and put a circle around their liability. Okay, what we're looking at here is a windfall defendant in some situations that we look at with this bill that have paid almost 10 times that liability amount. And so we're not prohibiting people from bringing these claims, people that are hurt. What we're doing is saying, okay, what is fair is fair. And in this situation, the example that I gave, where that company was bought for $7 million, had that company went into bankruptcy, it would have put significantly less than $7 million that would have been available for claimants to have, to be able to have to satisfy their claims. It has been $650 million has been there.
Representative Pedersen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the key to what this bill is talking about is exactly what the floor manager is talking about. It's a fairness issue. Most of the major companies that went through asbestos manufacturing for a lot of our naval ships, a lot of our older buildings and things along these lines have long since bankrupt. The people who are actually involved in the process. You end up with companies who purchased other companies with it kept them knowingly after 1972 being the key year when it was declared a hazardous substance. What they did is they would purchase these companies that had asbestos liability but keep them as a subsidiary. And then that subsidiary would then declare bankruptcy and the main corporation could go on by itself. So as you move your way down the ladder, what ends up happening is you end up with companies with less that have been in the primary purpose of manufacturing and distributing asbestos are largely gone because they've been wiped out due to forms of litigation and other pieces. What ends up happening is you move your way down the ladder, and you move your way towards what companies are left. And the specific example of the company that is located in the basin, which is not a specific name, House District 3 representative, has been left with this. They never manufactured. They never distributed. They owned it for 9 months, and yet they're on the hook for all this. And where the big difference comes in is it's a matter of dollars for a Wyoming company. When you have $650 million of liabilities out there, you pay $100 million in interest alone to keep that out there. Therefore, you have junk rating on a street with a big wall in the Big Apple. For all of your liability that you put out there. Therefore, you will never catch up on paying down this debt. And if you look at other companies that are in the same business of manufacturing and distributing caps, bottles, different pieces along these lines, they all have one half the interest rate as this company does on any bond that they do, anything that they put out. This has affected this company to the point they've had to lay off over half of their employees. And this is a big deal because you're not just talking about 100 people. You're talking about all of the businesses that serve us around and all the trucks that go in and out. 100 jobs is a lot of jobs in the state of Wyoming. And this is a big issue for that whole portion of the state for a company that has long since. And if you watch there, they're still liable. They're liable for the inflation indexed that they reference to original purchase of that company and any liabilities that they have, which I forget the number, but it's under $100 million. So they would have already long since paid, and they're long since passed at $650 million. And this is the type of legislation that we were all elected for. We were all elected to help the economy, to help with jobs. And this is an exact type of bill that we can go forward and say, we did help keep a business in Wyoming. We helped keep it afloat, and we did the right thing because they've already paid into the massive trust. The trust will already be distributed to all of these folks, and by passing this really similar litigation, you get this passed in around 22 different states, you're going to cut that interest rate in half. And then all of a sudden you have a competitive company that has 100 employees and 80 retirees in the state of Wyoming and also services many other people throughout that area. And so I'd urge the floor to support this bill. I think it's a great bill. I think it's overdue, and I think it's time. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 110 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 110 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 113, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Pipeline Authority. This bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 113 do pass. And I'd like to turn the management of the bill over to the good representative from the county with the tall mountains in it.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and historian. First, I'd like to give the body just a little background on the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, the WPA. The purpose of the WPA is to improve and preserve the access of Wyoming oil, gas, and related products to higher-priced markets that improve our revenue for the state. The WPA is instrumental in planning and facilitating the building of pipelines for Wyoming's natural gas, which brings in about $1 million a day for the state. Also for its CO2 pipelines, which is used for enhanced oil recovery in some of our depleted oil fields, and also is being used for carbon capture and sequestration. We're just sort of starting that. In 2005, the legislature set up the WPA as an instrumentality of the state rather than a state agency. And initially, the general administration activities of the WPA was funded by a loan from the state treasurer. In 2010, the legislature decided to fund the WPA by an appropriation for the biennium. In this process, the Joint Minerals Committee was tasked with reviewing the structure and the funding mechanism, the WPA. We on the Minerals Committee did that a few times this summer. And now HB 113 simply codifies the funding mechanism of the WPA by appropriation in the same format used by state agencies. I urge you to support this bill so that Wyoming can continue to get its resources to market. And I stand for questions.
Any questions on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 109 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 113. Getting ahead of ourselves here. All those in favor of House Bill 113, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 113 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 109, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. This bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave. Sign Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Bill number 109 do pass, and I'll turn the management of the bill over to the same representative from the county with the big mountains.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 109 is extremely similar to the last bill we just talked about. It simply codifies the funding mechanism for the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority so that it is funded by an appropriation. A little bit about the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, since it's very important to the state. The purpose is to diversify and expand the state's economy through improvements in Wyoming's electric transmission infrastructure. And significant transmission capacity allows electrical generation in Wyoming to be sold at fair market rates around the country, and it in turn provides higher revenues for the state, and it also promotes energy development, such as our anything we would like to produce, any way we can produce electricity, wind and otherwise. I urge you to support this bill for the economic development benefits to the state. And we have some momentum going here that I think we need to, over the last 6 years, and I think we need to continue that momentum. I stand for any questions.
Any questions on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 109 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 109 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 2, Chairman Childers. Pardon? Oh. Just a second, Chairman Childers. Reading clerk shall read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 2, introduced by Representative Croker. A joint resolution requesting Congress to submit to the states a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution requiring a balanced budget except in times of war or declared national emergency. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blickrey, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Vronish, excused, Goggles, sign Representative Childers, Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number House Joint Resolution 2 pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments, and I will explain the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you turn to page 3 of the bill, after line 8, we added the language to also send it to legislative leadership of the other 49 states. In other words, to basically get the other states to join in this effort to get Congress to give us a constitutional amendment. And with that, I would call for the question on the amendment, unless there's questions about it.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Joint Resolution 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would now turn the discussion of the bill over to the good representative from House District 35.
Amendment passes, and Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a fairly simple resolution. I think we're all aware of the problems in Washington and how our spending has gotten out of control with the federal government. And it's been mentioned many times in this body the need to have our U.S. Congress follow the same rules that we follow here in Wyoming, and one of those rules is a balanced budget. Unfortunately, as a state, we don't have the power to bring forth a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution on our own. That basically the two options that we have are to call for a constitutional convention or have Congress bring forth an amendment. If Congress passes it, then they send it to the states to ratify. I did not feel comfortable going the direction of a constitutional convention because I think there's a lot of things that can happen. The odds might be small that the convention would get out of hand, but that's a chance I don't want to take. So I've opted for the route of calling on the U.S. Congress to bring forth a balanced budget amendment and saying if they will put forth a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution when it comes to the states that we will ratify it. And I think it's an important step for the states to take. That's one of the reasons we're sending this resolution to the other 49 states is so that they can enact similar measures. And I would like to hope that if 38 or 40 states or ideally more would pass similar resolutions that Congress would get the message and they would bring forth a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution so we can rein in that out-of-control spending. I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Childers.
Well, members of the 61st, I encourage you to vote for this bill. Bear in mind that, you know, while there are other groups that have been involved in pushing for states' rights and pushing for Congress to do things better, I think in general many of the states are pushing that this debt is out of hand and also that, as Wyoming does, we need a balanced budget. So vote for it.
Any further discussion? Representative Croker?
I would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution Number 2 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
House Joint Resolution 2 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 2, introduced by the Corporations Committee. Enact relating to health insurance, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yeagy, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
How about
Chairman Illaway, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 2 do pass. And the good gentleman from House District 18 will explain this bill.
Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For all those of you that got assigned to a new committee that they don't know much about, I feel for you, and I just got there. Corporations is a challenge to me, but this bill is one that we are just extending a sunset. It's already been funded for the biennium. This is in accordance with the kind of a HIPAA federal government. One of my favorite things is demanding that we have this, and we have it in place, and it's running very well. This is to cover those folks in our state that are not eligible or have been refused insurance because of health reasons, have pre-existing conditions. So what we're doing with this is just extending the sunset till 2015. It has been extended, I believe, three times. So we're just carrying on with a program that seems to be working very well in the state. And I'd ask for your favorable vote.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 2 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. House Bill 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 4. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to the Department of Insurance regarding background checks. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson, no, Croker. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 4 do pass, and the good gentleman from House District 53 will explain the bill.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, representatives, this bill will be just providing for background checks for insurance providers and adjusters and insurance consultants. And it's really easy to explain. If you just go to page 2, you'll see that it calls for criminal history record information to be disseminated by criminal justice agencies and only to the Department of Insurance for purposes of licensing. And then down on line 11, it talks about the persons that shall be required to submit to fingerprinting in order to obtain state and national criminal history record information, and those persons applying for an initial license under Wyoming statutes Title 26 through Chapter 9 for those positions affected. And if you turn to page 3, you'll see that this bill strikes the part that says a credit and investigation report on the applicant from a recognized and established independent investigation reporting agency and replaces fingerprints and other information as necessary. And that's because that is a easier way to check for background and it works better for all concerned. And the cost of the criminal history record background check should be paid by the applicant. If you turn to page 4, you'll see that it talks about if being licensed as a resident, that the applicant will have to have provided the commissioner fingerprints and information as necessary. And on page 5, it's the same. The applicant will provide the commissioner fingerprints and other information. Now, this bill was brought forward by the Joint Corporations Committee, and there was agreement on all parties that this was good for the people of Wyoming, and I ask for your approval.
Representative Croker.
I just wanted to raise the one concern that I had. Background checks are already required for insurance licenses. I just don't feel comfortable having the government require that you submit fingerprints for everybody who wants to apply for a license. To me, that feels like an invasion of privacy, and I'm not comfortable requiring it.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Representative Blickery.
I just ask for your favorable consideration, and I call the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 4 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
House Bill 4 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 9, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to the Department of Insurance licensure revisions. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stepson. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 9 do pass, and the good representative from House District 56 will discuss the bill.
Representative Stepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you, House Bill 9, was a product of the interim and is really an updating of portions of the insurance statutes. Our insurance commissioner is a member of a national group of insurance commissioners that work towards uniformity in their laws to allow for reciprocity and those sorts of things. Some of these are steps in that direction. Some of them are modernization of obsolete language, and I can walk quickly through the bill and then take any questions. The first few pages you see that there is deletion of the term service representative, and that's actually, there are changes throughout the bill that delete that term. And that's because that's an obsolete license type. That's just not a license that we use in the state anymore. And so to bring the laws current, that's been deleted. On page 4, you'll see the addition of a number of different lines of insurance. These are lines of insurance that just had been, they are offered in the state, but they were not, just had been left out inadvertently of this provision of the statute, so it was included. And then below you can see adjustments in the fee schedules where there's for out-of-state, for non-resident agents, there was an increase in the licensing fees to $150, those for the residents has remained $100, and those for the initial issuance of the license have remained at $100. Moving over to page 5, again, including it in section 201, we include some inadvertently left out statutes. And then at the bottom of page 5, that deletion is a deletion in lines offered to fraternal organizations because they do not offer limited lines insurance. And so we cleaned that up and took it out. Again, throughout page 6, it's really just updating the terminology used. The real, I guess, a couple of the substantive changes on page 7, we've expanded the exemptions, and currently there's an exemption for trip insurance. This expands that a little bit. If you're offering insurance for baggage being carried by a common carrier, some of those things, or accident when being carried by a common carrier, those sorts of things that are connected with a specific trip, this exempts you from having to be licensed under the entire act. So, again, sort of a modernization to current practices. On page 8, 26.9.2.19, Wyoming actually is one of the there's not that many states, I'm trying to remember, maybe 14 across the country that actually license adjusters. And this is sort of a recognition of that. And what it does is it says if there's somebody that's licensed or that wants to be licensed in this state, and say their home state, they may live in Colorado. That's a good example because they don't license adjusters, the state to the south of us, sorry. They may want to be licensed as an adjuster in our state, but say they have a number of licenses around. They may be already pre-licensed in a state that does license adjusters, even though that may not be the state that they, you know, reside in. This allows them to designate a home state for that purpose. And so if they meet all the requirements under another state that license adjusters, they can designate that as their home state and therefore be eligible for the reciprocity provisions of our statute. And that's kind of what D and E are about. And then finally, the other, I guess, substantive change is if you flip over to page 11, there is a provision that allows, there currently is no provision that allows you to sell rental insurance if you're renting a motorcycle instead of some other motor vehicle. This just allows that that authority. So with that, I'd take any questions that anybody may have on the bill.
Any questions? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill Number 9 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 9 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so that everybody knows the schedule, this afternoon I intend that we work until House Bill 8, and we will stop right at House Bill 8 and go on to our other business, save House Bill 8 and 74 until tomorrow. With that, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m. this afternoon.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Committee announcements. Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, January 20th, at noon recess in House 18. We'll continue discussing House Bill 137, Private Transfer Fee Obligations, and then we'll work House Bill 46, Campaign Funds, Personal Use, House Bill 136, Appointments to County Commissioner Vacancies, and if there's time, House Bill 81, Vacant Land.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Chairman Miller. Your committee, too, will continue to meet on the budget. We're getting closer, folks. At 12:30 in room 204, we will be working on A&I capital construction and compensation for state employees. And then we will again meet upon adjournment today to hear Department of Corrections. Thank you very much.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Thursday. There's a revised notice coming out. This says 6:59 a.m. It'll be 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, 7:30, in room H8 to consider the following bills. House Bill 105, Temporary Military Duty Child Custody and Visitation. House Bill 56, Plaintiffs and Wrongful Death Actions. House Bill 79, Establishment of Private Roads. House Bill 80, Service of Process and Family Violence and Stalking Cases. House Bill 88, Guides and Outfitters.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The majority party will be meeting at noon, but not in our normal place. We will actually be over in the Hirschler Building in 1699. So when you walk in the front door, you go to the left. It's that hearing room on the left side. So different place today.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 8, Transportation, will be meeting tomorrow, Thursday, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H17. We will be hearing House Bill 124, National Guard Emergency Deployment Professional Licensing, House Bill 41, Driving Within a Single Lane, House Bill 96, Motor Vehicles Passing Bicycles. And also, Mr. Chairman, I would like to remind the body that tomorrow, upon the noon recess, there'll be a light lunch served, and we will be doing a demonstration of the WildLink statewide public safety communication system. And I've promised you we will be done within an hour. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet today upon adjournment in room H17 to hear the following bills. We will continue with House Bill 73, then we will start with House Bill 65 and House Bill 35. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Friday, 8 a.m., room H10, where we will take up State House Bill 102, State Common School Trust Land Management Account, and House Bill 133, special limited fishing permits. The last one will be contingent upon a group. It's a youth bill. So the youth being able to get here then. If not, the bill will be laid back. Thank you.
Representative Barbudo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The minority party will caucus today at noon at the Plains Hotel. And as a reminder, it's an open caucus, and the public is welcome to attend. Thank you.
Okay, Committee of the Whole, we're in recess until 2 p.m.